מה שנוח נועד מצד מי שבטח הולקים בפרנוסוי, it applies to everything, I think, but he's speaking specifically about פרנוסוי. What is the correct attitude of a botach in a lokim panosa? Because a kairish panosa mit mamem is the ball. It's not happening. It's not coming. Sheyachshev az beliboy, and then he should think in his heart. Hashem shehev yoti lo ilam hazeh. Hashem who brought me to this world, but the kufa musiemes in this specific time, ubishah musiemes in this specific period at this time, he didn't bring me to the world before or after this specific moment that I'm here. Hashem is holding back my panosa in this particular space, in this particular time. Because Hashem knows what's good for me. Whatever's happening in my life, it's coming from Hashem, and therefore this is good for me. And therefore, if the panosa is not happening now, assuming everything else is in place, then we use Rashi's betochen, not the Chaim Soloveitchik's betochen. You do everything you have to do based on your perception of reality, and when Hashem does what He wants to do, you makabel it ba'ava, knowing that it's the best thing for you. V'chein kasher panosa bo elav betzimtzum, or panosa is coming but ma'od betzimtzum, lo yaseh b'ma'umah b'chdei mezoinoi, he's getting just enough to survive, ro'i lo lachshov b'liboy, it's correct for him to think in his heart. His heart means his brain, by the way. No one thinks with their, this thing pumps blood, it doesn't think. Why the Torah calls that heart's another story, not for now. But when you say liboy, we mean you've got to think in your head. K'shem she'ashem heichin li'es mezoini, who fed me when I was in my mother's womb? How did I survive when I was in my mother's womb? Hashem took care of me, right? He gave me exactly what I needed. Biduk. The conditions that a fetus lives in under the womb are astoundingly awesome. And then when I was born, he swapped what I was eating with something better. Therefore, what he gave me then, which is what exactly what I need, what he's giving me now is exactly what I needed. And he didn't mazik me then, and he won't mazik me now. That's what he gives me now. So then that's what is enough for me. Even if I live like that for the rest of my life. If this is what Hashem's arranged for me, and that's what I'm supposed to have, then that's what's best for me. And if he'll withstand this nisoy, and will trust in Hashem, even when the panosa is delaying in coming, or it's coming b'tzimtzum, he gets rewarded for this. In the midst, Hashem testified about our avos. V'yotza'am v'lok tudo v'yoyim b'yoyim l'man anasenu hayelech b'torosim lo. And the nation went out and took every day, yoyim, you got food for the day, in order that I could test them to see whether they would withstand the nisoyin or not, and they walk in the ways of Torah or not. V'oid ne'ma hayelech v'keros v'ozne yishulayim le'ma ko'amar Hashem. Yirmiyah says, go, Hashem says to Yirmiyah, go and speak in the ears of Jerusalem and say to them, Kol Amar Hashem, thus saith the Lord. Anyone speak like that today still? I don't know, whatever. I like that translation. I don't know if Art Scroll would even translate it like that, but anyway. Kol Amar Hashem, Zechati lo chesed nuraich, avas kilosayich, lech tachara b'midbar v'eretz lo zura. You walked into the midbar with me, with no food, with no nourishment, no nothing. You did a chesed for me, Hashem says. I remember the chesed you did me, Hashem says. Lech t'cha'achara b'midbar eretz lo zeruah. And that's how we have to be today. You have to go after Hashem. You have to walk with Hashem. And accept the fact that whatever is happening for the good. This is one enormous nisoy. Enormous nisoy. Chasam Sofer says that the two nisoyness of Klal Yisrael before they came out of Mitzrayim was the nisoy of Panasa, and the nisoyin of not knowing what's going on in the world. I'm getting funny looks, I can see. Chasam Sofer says that the reason why 80% of Klal Yisrael never came out of Mitzrayim wasn't because they were bad, because we see some real Rishrayim came out of Mitzrayim as well. it was because they wouldn't withstand these two nishainas that Klal Yisrael was going to go through Bitzias Mitzrayim, and therefore Hashem made them by Zochay Valtamus Chayv. He took them out before because he knew they wouldn't withstand the nishain. He said the Chasam Sofer, before Mashiach comes, we're going to withstand those two nishainas again, and you're going to have to pass those nishainas because you didn't pass them the first time. If you want to get out of this goddess, you're going to have to deal with two nishainas. What are those two nishainas? So the first one was by Makas Choshech, which Klal Yisrael had to go into the midstream's homes and see where all the wealth and gold and all the money was and not take it, not touch it. Hashem said, go look and see where all their gold is, go look where all the wealth is, but don't touch it, don't take it. And the second test was Laila Seder, called Klal Yisrael had to stay at home. You weren't allowed to go out, you weren't allowed to look outside. That amazing moment that Klal Yisrael had been waiting for years and years and years, the final redemption had finally come. And Hashem says to each Jew, go into your own home, close the door, close the windows, and don't look outside. Said the Chazan Sofer, before Nashiach comes, they're going to be these two Nisoinis, Naira and Nairas. They're going to be the two Nisoinis, you're going to have to deal with these two Nisoinis. Honest Panosa, making Panosa in a Shulchan Aruch Dika way, and keeping your eyes inward, not outwards. Stop worrying about what China's doing and what this one's doing and what that one's doing. Stop reading newspapers, stop looking at the news. Shut down all that nonsense. You don't need to know what it is about. You don't need to know what it's about. What you need for your immediate panosa to know what's going on. You're a gold trader, you need to know what the gold price is. Obviously, we're not talking about in the world of Ishtadis or panosa. But who said what to whom and when and she flew on Shabbos and he ate salmon in Saudi Arabia and all that garish crap, we don't need to know what it is. We need to know. That's going to be the two nishainas, which I think everybody can resonate with here, before Mashiach comes. You're going to be able to make an honest panos, even though the whole world around you is stealing and lying and thieving through their teeth. Mamash do chomos. And now you're going to be able to shut down all the tikshoret and just say, you know what? I'm going to... Tomim tiyim Hashem elokecha. That's going to be an enormous nishain. And that was the nishain of Klal Yisrael, lech techa rabbi midbar, and 80% of Klal Yisrael couldn't withstand those two nishainas. Chasam Sofer, if you want the reference to it, I'll dredge it out for you. There's two Makairis. He used to say this in his Pesach Seder regularly, but it's brought down in his Piddush on Chumash. I'll give you the reference if you want sometime. I'll dredge it up. I've got it somewhere. Okay. The Chayim is one of the most important side benefits of having even a little bit of betochen is that osa ishtadlus for manasa don't attract you anymore. Dishonest ishtadlus for panasa don't attract you anymore. Even if you have a modicum of betochen, this level he's talking about here is besada. That's the Dora Midbar's level. But even on our level, a person has a modicum, a small amount of betoch. Yeah? He's going to think twice before he does something that's awesome. Because it doesn't make any sense anymore. You understand that the panos has nothing to do with the ishtadlus. So why do osi ishtadlus? Why go do an aveira to get something which you can't affect the outcome of anyway? You might as well do it honestly. The outcome's going to be the same. So at least a little bit of betoch can save you lots and lots of aveiras in panos. And so too, if the panos is coming to him via a ishtadlus that's not really desirable to him, and not other panoses, or dafka b'mokum she'enu rotzoloi, in a particular place that he'd rather not be, v'lo b'mkaymes acherim, and in other places, or dafka l'yedei adam she'enu rotzoloi, it's coming via working for somebody, or with somebody that he doesn't want to be with, v'lo yadei b'nei adam acherim, as yachshov b'liboi, then he should think, Hashem sheyotzoti davke bo'isa tzura, bo'isa dmus, va'akove b'mide shenotzati bo. This is important to think even if it's got nothing to do with panosa. Hashem made me davke like this, and in this form, and in this shape, and put all my midas and created this whole cholent that's called me. V'lo yotzoti b'tzura dmus va'akove b'mide acheres. He didn't make me like you, or like anybody else, or any different. He made me b'duk how I am. V'pnezeh u'tovosi, because that's exactly what's best for me. He didn't forget, like, you know, when he was mixing the cake to produce me, he didn't forget to put in salt, you know. There wasn't salt there because it's not supposed to be there. And he chose Biduk that the panos is going to come via this type of ishtadlus. Not Biduk other things. Because this is what's most suited for me.
Why were you born where you were born?
Never, you weren't born in South Africa, so you have to be upset about it. No, you don't have to be upset about it. You were supposed to be born in America, never. And nothing you can do about it. No, you can't change it. That's what Hashem wanted. And you have to live with it. V'davka al-yaday oisam shnei b'nei adam sh'olidu oisi. Davka, the parents. Hashem decided your parents were going to be, and they're the best ones for you. V'lo yaday sh'ar b'nei adam, and not other people. Hu she'bocha avuri b'olam hazeh panos sh'tero alei davka, and he chose my panos is davka going to come. Be'eretz mesuyemes, val yaday amben mesuyam. I'm going to make panos this way, through this one, through this deal, whatever. She also said, "I'm tzoy panosu." Mipnei shezu tovati, because that's what's best for me. The Moshama Kosuv Tzadik Hashem b'chol drapo. Hashem is righteous in everything He does. It means everything that complex, unbelievably complex structure that makes up who I am and when I was born and why and how I get my panosu and the whole story. It's biduki designed by Hashem, who doesn't do anything not good for me. That's what a person has to continue mechazak for himself. And by the way, even when panos is going well, you should mechazak this. So when it does start getting not so well, you're prepared for it. To train yourself. And it's not just in panos, it's in everything. This is all coming from Hashem. And kol letovati, it's all for my good. Hashem knows exactly what's going on. Hashem missed something. He doesn't understand. He's doing something bad. Chas v'chalila. We understand. Even intellectually, it has to be that way. Okay. So that's the end of Chelek Beis. That's the things relating to Olam Hazeh, not to my immediate existence, but to the Parnosa that involves other people that are dependent on me. Now, Chelek Shlishi. HaKoylel HaSayachas HaNochem Mitzilek Klape Ishtoi Bonov B'nai Beisei Kron. One second, that was Chelek, what was Chelek Sheni there? I don't understand, I thought that was Chelek Sheni. Chelek Hashani is Kol HaInyonim HaNegayim L'chul. Ah, sorry, you're wrong. I apologize. Chelek Rishon was what relates to his survival. Chelek Beis was what relates to the three levels of panosa that he has. The money he needs to survive, the money that he needs to support other people, and then what we called wealth. Over and above what he needs for himself. Chelek Shlishi, sorry about that, is the panosa that he has, or the correct relationship he has to have, Klape ishto bonov bnei beisei kreiva v'hoiv muduyov v'kirov yoshichweis bnei adam ashoinos. All the people that he has some kind of obligations to, going out from his wife, his children, the people living in his house, his relatives, his beloved ones, and near ircho, all the people in the concentric circles going out that the Torah places obligations on him to mafanis. Those that are on a higher standing than him and those on a lower standing than him. It's like this, as I will explain, the correct betochen that a person has to have klape these other people is like this. You don't have a person, 100% what he means here, who is not included in one of the following two categories. Or he is a stranger, b'mkay mugurov, where he's living. Or he's with his family and his relatives. It means he's either with, he has his family support system, shkach. Or he's alone. He's a stranger. Don't exactly know what. Let's see. אז אם הוא זר במוקם וגרוב יחשוב בליבי שזה אין, שאין לו עם מי להתיידד, הוא לטוב אותו. If he's alone and he doesn't have a decent support system, you often feel like that when you make aliyah. You come to a strange country, you don't know anybody, you don't speak the language, you can't find a plumber, you don't know how to deal with a bear, you don't know anything. That's how you feel. You feel like a complete stranger. You don't feel comfortable with a support system, with a network. אז what should he think? הוא לטוב אותו. That's my goal mood. Since he feels totally alone and abandoned, when you're alone and abandoned, who do you turn to? You turn to Hashem. Umitoch shu chash begeirusoy, since he's feeling his geirus. Ubotech lab yisroch, yes, betochen in Hashem, v'yale alibo es geirusoy shol hanefesh v'olam hazeh. And now he can start thinking, on a higher level about how his neshama is in geirus, yeah, his neshama is in a place that he doesn't belong. V'shekol ha'noshim mitzayim v'olam, hein bo kamogeirim. Everybody here is a stranger. Everybody down here in this world isn't in his natural habitat. The natural habitat of panda bears is Babambi. The natural habitat of Jews is not in this world. It's not our natural habitat. Our natural habitat is with Hashem in Shemayim. There's nowhere we're supposed to live. We've come down here to do a certain job, but we're out of sync with this world, if you haven't noticed. So therefore, you can use it as a marshal. It's a wonderful marshal to understand how much everybody is a Geria. Let him think. Everyone who has relatives in this world. When he dies, he's going to be very alone. You're not going to be here forever. You can have all your friends in the world. You can have wonderful networks. But how long is it going to last? When you leave this world, nothing's going to happen. They're buried alone. He's not going to have a chavrusa then. Means even if you have, even if in this world and you have all the relatives and the support system, it's not going to last forever. This that he's alone is for his good. Just think, the guy's got 16 children, he's got a family, he's got a big family, whatever, he's got enormous oil on his head. The guy hasn't got time to learn, he's so busy taking care of his family. Therefore he's potter from these chivim, and he can do other things with his life, more practical, more functional, more beneficial. For him anyway. The guy that's got 15 children is jealous of the guy that's only got one child, because this guy, you know, doesn't have so much to do and he doesn't have all these chivim and life's a little bit easier for him. Let him also think what he has to think. That if Hashem gave him all these children and all these achrais or whatever, that's good for him. Think that this is one of the toivas that Hashem did for him. That he's baited. Shemonavshach. Imu adam aradef achrein yono ilam azev tzorchov. Monavshach. If he's somebody that's running off to worldly matters, as he goes, he yoisa kalakushu bli, ishabonim. It's much easier to become a billionaire if you don't have a wife and kids. You know what, you earn sticks. You know, you only need one credit card. In fact, you don't even need a credit card. And it's much easier to accumulate wealth if you don't have family to take care of. Kach she'ed ishabonim, maybe lo menucha toiva toiva. The fact that he doesn't have a wife and children brings him menucha. We're not talking about somebody who decides he's not going to get married. We're talking about somebody who made every possible study to get married, and the boy Ralam said no. We're not talking about where he himself doesn't do what he's supposed to do. We're talking about somebody who did all these studies, did everything he was supposed to do, and Hashem said no. So it's a painful, it's not possible, that's a terrible insight. What's he supposed to think? This is what Hashem did for me, it's good for me. If he's somebody that's not worried about too much about accumulating in this world, he's worried about what's going to be in Olam Haba. As bli sofek machshavos av yaseh mushuchroros b'pnoy shehu boided. Avadi is much more open to earn and to grow and develop in his Olam Haba if he doesn't have all these responsibilities. Now once again, if Hashem gives you the responsibilities, that's what's good for you, and that's how you're going to earn your Olam Haba. But if he doesn't, you don't have to be jealous and be upset because he didn't, because there's a lot of stuff you can do that other people can't.
But it's an exception. It's a mitzvah to...
We're talking about you did all the ishtadlis. The person did all the ishtadlis and Hashem said no. It's a mitzvah to have children as well. There are plenty of people children, that didn't have children. And because they didn't have children, they were able to do great, great things that people with children couldn't do. L'chadchile, you don't go looking for it. You have to do what you have to do. But at the end of the day, Hashem has to do what he has to do. And if Hashem says no, Hashem has another job for you. There were people who never got married that were able to have enormous impacts on communities that married people couldn't. They were able to go to outlying communities and do kiruv and stay with their communities for a long, long time because they didn't have to worry about the chinuch of their children. People went out to outlying countries and places to do kiruv. The minute the kids got to 3, 4, they had to leave. And the communities collapsed. people that weren't married and didn't have children, or were married and didn't have children, were able to go out there and build enormous, brilliant communities. Rav Simcha Wasserman Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Lebrocha was one of the greatest Baal Makarovs of this generation. He never had children. Rav Yisocha Meir built the whole Negev. Never had children. Had he had 15 children or whatever, who knows what Torah there would be in the Negev today. Once again, you have to do everything you have to do. There's a Shulchan Aruch that says you've got to do what you've got to do. But we're talking about what happens if he did everything he had to do, and Hashem said, no, I don't want you to have a wife and children. So he has to know that that's the best possible thing for him, and he can use that opportunity that Hashem gave him to do great things. There's an unbelievable letter that Aaron Feldman wrote to a certain person who was in a similar situation. It's good to read. Chazaking him with his nisoyin. No, you took a terrible nisoyin this bocha had. You see the letter that he wrote to him. Unbelievable godless. Unbelievable godless. He wrote to him explaining to him this nakuda. Worth reading. And kam mokum laharich. Umitam ze hayu achasidim apushim bolchim ebateim emekroveim elaharim. Today we're not allowed to do this, but there were chasidim apushim who left their homes and went to the mountains, so that their hearts and minds were completely freed up for serving Hashem. Rabbi Akiva did it for 24 years. If you tried to do that today, I don't know what that would look like. The Nevi'im, when they had Nevu'ah, they would go isolate themselves in order to settle their minds and settle their thoughts on the chivim that are incumbent upon them for the Shem. Elisha, 12 tzmodim lefonav hu b'shnayim v'osu. Kiven shiromos lo Eliyahu b'remez kal shinovi l'Hashem, heivin remez zeh v'ono. Eshokeno lo'ovi v'limo v'helcha acharecha v'nema v'yelech acher Eliyahu v'shorseyu. He left his family, he left everything he had, he went off to Eliyahu to serve him. Don't exactly know what that has to do with us. Alright, let's assume we'll carry on after Shavuos. The vote is, and we have to know this, that everything that Hashem brings upon us is for our good, and not just that we have to go, it's for my good, you have to find the good in it. To be Don Lekavschus doesn't mean, well, he must have been doing the right thing. You have to go find what's good about it and use that good. Every situation Hashem brings upon us has a toelis and a benefit for us, and you have to use it, and you have to know how to use it. It's a moshul for something, you have to find the nimshul. It's a big work. But it's not stam. There's no word in Judaism called stam. Probably the most used word today out in the streets. Why did you do that? Stam. What do you mean stam? You didn't think. Stam. If Hashem does something, it's for our good, and you have to find out how to use it. Don't push it. But that's how Baal Batochen lives. He understands it's all from Hashem, and if it's from Hashem, it's the Tovati. How do I use this in order to serve Hashem better? If you find out how to do this, please let me know. I'm very grateful. Theoretically, yes. Practically, I haven't got a clue. I don't know.
I'll call you.
What we need to do is get a little, we have the big email list, maybe to get a little mini email list just of this group, and I can send out an email if there's a problem. It's very rare that there's a problem, but Thursday at the moment is up in the air. I don't know. Usually I'm here and we learn and I'm planning on being here, but I can see something lurking in the background that may stop me getting here.
You're here in Ramat Hashem as Shabbat?
Bezrat Hashem. Bezrat Hashem. That's what they tell me. My wife told me, yes.
Yeah, you should be at the Grove. Really, the email's
gone. I saw the email. I didn't know about it until I saw the email. I'm not joking. It's the first I knew, and I don't know if I'm going to speak. I'm not that happy about it, but anyway. It's,
whatever you speak today, you can just say the same thing.
No, I have other things to do on Lel Shavuos. I came here to get away from that. I came here just to be able to sit and learn with my kids, right, whatever, spend time and then come here.
Who roped you in?
This guy, yeah. Bezrat Hashem, we'll see. Hopefully we'll find something to learn with the Oilam. No, they normally give me the graveyard slot, you know, on a 4th.
4 o'clock in the morning on this stage. 12:30 is prime time. They're like, you know, the other people.
Great, great. Yeah.